of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Father.
We celebrate the 18th Sunday of Ordinary Time. And in our liturgy of the word, we will hear in our first reading these words, vanity of vanities. All things are vanity. And Jesus Christ, in his gospel, is telling to us, take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possession. Today, we are called to think about what we really have, how much we have, and how much of this what we have is good, not only here on this earth, but also can help us with our everlasting life. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This night your life will be demanded of you. Then the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of Luke.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, who here is a fan of Winnie the Pooh? Oh, everybody likes Winnie the Pooh. Well, that's good, because the author of the book of Ecclesiastes that we just heard has been described by some as the Eeyore of the Old Testament. You all know who Eeyore is, right? That lovable donkey, kind of always down the dumps, "Oh, woe is me," approach to life. Some, on a more serious note, sometimes say, well, the book of Ecclesiastes is melancholy. Well, okay, Eeyore is melancholy, but who doesn't love Eeyore? That brief reading we heard essentially tells us that life is short. You work hard, but before you know it, you die. And all the stuff that you work hard for belongs to someone else who didn't work for it. How's that for a cheery message to start our Sunday morning? But remember, the book of Ecclesiastes is traditionally said to have been written by King Solomon. And King Solomon is known for what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. So the book of Ecclesiastes is really ultimately about obtaining wisdom. True wisdom. The brief portion we heard tells us about the vanity of earthly wealth. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Is how that reading began. First, what's the meaning of the word vanity? Well, you know, I think we think of it today as someone with excessive pride, a person who is kind of egotistical, full of themselves. Maybe today we'd say a diva. Is that how we would call someone like that today? Remember that Carly Simon song from the 70s, You're So Vain? I'm not going to sing, don't worry. But you know the song, You're So Vain, I bet you think this song is about it. That's how we think of vain, somebody full of themselves. But that's not how Ecclesiastes understands that word, vanity. The actual word that gets translated to vanity is really hevalim, which means more like futility. Yeah? Futility is doing something that's not going to amount to much of anything, if anything at all. And so Ecclesiastes is talking about the fleeting nature of the things of this world. Life is short, and so in that sense, what one does is futile. It's vanity. Everything in this world is passing away. That's kind of like that George Harrison song, All Things Must Pass, right? I'm a child of the 70s, so I think of these songs when I think of these things. It's not the cheeriest of messages, but it's true. And we could relate to it more and more as we grow older. And now, just in case I don't have you down in the dumps enough yet, Ecclesiastes goes on to give examples about how futile all of the good things of life that we all chase after really are. All those good things are passing away. If you noticed in the reading, we even heard Ecclesiastes say that even at night, his mind is not at rest. What is that about? If you were to read a little bit further in the book, you would see that Ecclesiastes talks about a poor man, a laborer, who after he's done with his hard day's work, he sleeps like a rock. You know, he sleeps like a log. But the rich man, he can't get a good night's rest because of the anxiety that goes with wealth. What if somebody breaks in and robs me? What if there's a fire? What if there's a flood? What if the stock market crashes? Then what? And Ecclesiastes goes on to tell us that even that worry, even all of that concern is futile. It really doesn't amount to anything. Okay. Now stop and think about the rich man in the gospel. He thinks that because he has accumulated all this stuff, he's all set. He can just eat, drink, marry, and have no problems. And what does Jesus say? He says the words, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." You notice Jesus doesn't so much warn against wealth, he warns against greed. Greed is that desire to have more and more and more and more and more, more than you need. Jesus is talking in terms of barns because he lived in an agrarian culture. Wealth was often accumulated through farming. Today's equivalent might be, you know, the rich man who goes and rents even a bigger unit in one of those mini storage places, right? Or rents more units in a mini storage place to keep all of his stuff. And what do you see being built all over the place these days? Mini storage places. They're coming up all over the place, right? So that we have a place to keep all of ourselves. And Jesus is telling his disciples, life is not about getting more and more and more stuff. To drive that point home, he tells him the parable about that rich man, who God says to him, "You fool, fool, tonight you're going to die. Then who's all this stuff going to belong to?" Imagine God calling you a fool. Not exactly having a good day, have God say to you, "You fool." What kind of person comes to mind when you think of the rich man, you know, the rich fool? I don't know, maybe somebody, first you think of somebody exceedingly wealthy, yet at the same time very shallow. I don't know, maybe a Hollywood type or something like that. But I think that's where we all have to be very careful. Have you noted, like me, all of a sudden the increase in popularity of TV shows that deal with people with a hoarding disorder? You ever see those? They seem to be turning up more and more. Why do we watch those things? We didn't watch them, they wouldn't be on, so we watched them, right? Although that may be an extreme, maybe see a little bit of ourselves, in that person. You know, it's good to stop and ask yourself, what do I hoard? There's lots of ways to hoard. I can think of one example, sad but true example, from a few years ago, where there was a man I knew who happened to be a workaholic. I mean, he worked. 7 days a week, I don't know, 16, 20 hours a day, and did quite well for himself. Made a lot of money. And if you asked him, "Why do you continue to work so hard?" he would say, "Well, it's so my family could have all the nice things that this world has to offer, all the nice things in life." And then he said, quite unexpectedly, out of the blue, he just didn't see the signs coming, one day his wife files for divorce. And her side of the story was, "We didn't want all those things. I wanted a husband. To have and to hold. I wanted a father for our children, someone who would be there for them." And he wouldn't give us that. He just wanted to work and give us money instead. He was a rich fool. I can think of another example. I happened to be at a gathering, and it just so happened that I was in earshot of a group of siblings talking about their mother. Now, these brothers and sisters were all grown and had children of their own at this point, but they were talking about their mother. And I happened to know their mother. And their mother was, well, you know, their mother was, you know what their mother was like. And you'll get the idea what their mother was like. One of the siblings said, "Our mother is the most greedy, selfish person I know." And you know the irony? That their mother, who I said, I knew she would be the kind to grab and grab and grab and get and get and get. And she would say, "I'm doing this so that one day my children could have these things." But you see, the children didn't want a financial planner. They didn't want a wealth manager or a property manager. They wanted a mother. And now, look at the legacy this mother will leave behind with her children. One of greedy and selfish. Ask yourself a question this bright sunny morning. What do you want people to say about you at your funeral? How do you want to be remembered? On that day, which is coming for all of us, when we're stretched out in this aisle, or our ashes are up here, every one of us will be there one day, and those who knew us and loved us come up to like this very pulpit, what do you want them to say about you? Do you want them to say, "Man, oh man, was he rich. He was able to buy what he wanted." Is that what you want? Or maybe you want them to say, "Wow, was he a powerful He was able to get anything he wanted done because people feared him. Is that what you want? Or do you want to be remembered as a kind, loving, generous person, a good husband, wife, mother, father, whatever? Now, pause and ask yourself this question. How do I see myself today, right now? How do I want to be remembered when I'm gone? What am I doing about it? How am I going about to become the person I know God wants me to be? Remember, Ecclesiastes is about acquiring wisdom, true wisdom. And you know that always in our liturgy of the word, the first reading and the gospel are linked. And if you want a clue, we even give a clue as to how the gospel and first reading are linked. It's found in the psalm. And in the psalm, we heard the prayer, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Prosper the work of our hands." There are two kinds of wealth. There's the rich fool, who is just concerned about storing up treasures for himself in this world. And then there's the wise person, who, although he still may become wealthy, he realizes, as Ecclesiastes said, that life is short. So he prioritizes his efforts so that he becomes rich in the eyes of God. He stores up treasures in heaven, so to speak, and asks God to prosper the work of his hands so that whatever he does do in this life will ultimately not result in futility or vanity, but will result in everlasting treasures in heaven. You know, we live in a culture that's obsessed with materialism. And the draw of that culture is so strong. We have to constantly fight against it. That's why Jesus is saying, guard against all greed. What's that expression you hear a lot today, that in the end, he who dies with the most toys wins? Isn't that a sad state that we've come to? See, the wealth that we acquire from all we do is not what we were made for. We were made for God. To know that is true wisdom. Remember, keep that question in mind. What am I like now? How do I want to be remembered when I'm gone? What am I doing about it? How am I working toward being the person that God wants me to be? You know, a step in that direction is to realize all the material possessions in this world will not give you any kind of lasting satisfaction. And yes, I know all of us naturally desire the comforts that the things of this life can offer, but don't get hooked on them. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't get hooked on them when he says, take care to guard against all greed. He's saying, don't get addicted to the stuff. It's like an opioid, right? An opioid is prescribed because someone is in pain, and that opioid alleviates the pain, and that's a good thing. But what's the danger? If you get hooked on the opioid, that's not a good thing. You can't get hooked on the stuff. Always remember that. We were not made for happiness in this life. Who here was raised on the Baltimore Catechism? Who remembers the Baltimore Catechism? Yes. The basic question, why did God make you? What's the answer? Exactly. You see what a good book that was? Even after 50 years, you remember the answer. And for those of you who didn't hear, God made you to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this life and be happy with him forever in the next.
There's nothing in there about happiness in this life, is there? No. The happiness comes in the next life. We were made to spend eternity with God. Always remember that. That's why we were made to spend eternity in happiness forever with God in heaven. On that day when each of us will surely stand before the judgment seat of God, the last thing any of us want to hear is God say to us, like that man today, "You fool." You don't want to hear that. And if you don't want to hear that, now is the time to start doing something.